Good to be back with you here at Christ Community Church. I know Mike and I have been friends for a number of years, and I live just up the street, so it's a very quick and easy trip for me to come down and be with you, especially on this exciting day as you're getting ready to send a team off to Africa. I want to share two scripture passages with you. The first one is from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. And the second reading I want to share with you is from the New Testament, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. And here, the writer of Hebrews is kind of describing what was going on with Abram when he made that choice to follow the Lord. It says in verse 8, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." I'm assuming that given the location of this church, there's probably a lot of folks here who have gone to Lindbergh schools or have kids in Lindbergh schools. I know all three of my kids went through Lindbergh schools since I live just up the street. If you know anything about the Lindbergh schools, one of the things that has sort of made them famous in recent years is their band. They are, I think, the only band in this entire region that has gone to the Rose Parade out in California. They've gone twice already, and now they're getting ready to go for a third time to the Rose Parade. And my kids, all three of them, when they went through Lindbergh High School, managed to go to the Rose Parade. My oldest went the first time the band went, when he was just a freshman. And then my daughter got to go when she was a senior, and my youngest kid got to go when he was just a freshman to that second Tournament of Roses parade. It's kind of a big deal. But of course, we all know it occurs at a rather busy time of the year. The Tournament of Roses parade is on New Year's Day. So I remember several years ago when that first Tournament of Roses showing for the Lindbergh band was getting ready to happen, my wife and I, along with our two younger kids, decided we were going to go out there to California in order to see our son in that Rose Parade. And so we boarded a plane on Christmas Day to fly to Los Angeles. Our plan was that we would spend a week seeing all the sights in Southern California, and then we would meet up with our son who was playing in the Rose Parade and watch him on New Year's Day in Pasadena. Now, I have to tell you, the main reason that we flew to Southern California on Christmas Day is because I was able to get plane tickets for about half the normal price by flying on Christmas Day, because nobody wants to fly on Christmas Day. In other words, I made careful plans for this trip. Because I made my plans several months in advance, I was able to get an incredibly cheap price to fly the entire family all the way out to the West Coast. And let me tell you, my planning didn't stop there. Because you see, I also booked our room in Pasadena 18 months in advance. Now, the reason I did that was because I actually lived in Pasadena for a couple of years. I went to seminary in Pasadena, California, at Fuller Theological Seminary. So my wife and I had lived there, and we had actually been living in Pasadena many years ago on New Year's Day when the Tournament of Roses parade, and we knew what happens to that town that time of year. And so we decided to book our room 18 months in advance so that we would have a place to stay that would be near to the parade route. Again, because I planned ahead, I got a great price on plane tickets. I had a great place to stay with my family. We had a great location with great proximity to the parade. And I have to tell you that when we got on that plane that Christmas day in the afternoon to fly to California, I was convinced that I had all my ducks in a row. All my plans were made. Everything was confirmed so that we would have a smooth, comfortable, and uneventful trip. But then something happened. When our plane landed in Los Angeles late in the evening on Christmas Day, we were understandably tired and weary, and we picked up our luggage and we left the airport, and we made our way to the place where I had booked and confirmed a rental car with my credit card. And when we got there, we found ourselves standing in a room with several other people talking to a very unhelpful clerk who told us they had no cars left. She said they had rented out all their cars earlier in the day and that it didn't matter that we had confirmed our reservations. It didn't matter that I had given them a credit card number. None of that mattered. If we wanted to find a car, we'd have to go somewhere else. And when I started calling some of the other rental car companies, of course, they also were all out of cars. Now, I have to tell you, at that moment, standing there in this rather dumpy part of town near the Los Angeles airport on Christmas night with two kids and a bunch of luggage and no transportation to get us where we needed to go, the old stress level began to rise. Now, fortunately, after about 2 hours of messing around with all this, the rental company did finally miraculously find us a car. There evidently were some cars in their back lot that had little dings and dents on them, and they weren't renting those out, but they decided to go ahead and rent us a car with a ding in it. And I said, I'd be glad to have the car with the ding in it. So we were able to get going. But I have to tell you that when it appeared like we weren't going to get a car, when it appeared like we might have to sleep on a bench in the rental car building waiting until some cars came in the next day, I have to tell you, I was not a happy camper. And my perfectly planned out trip was meeting with this unforeseen interruption. But let me ask you this, isn't that the way most of us feel when our plans get interrupted? I mean, when we've worked really hard to plan something out and we've gotten the agenda all in order for exactly how we want things to go, the last thing we want is for someone to come along and interrupt our plans and tell us that we're going to have to readjust everything all at the last moment. And because most of us don't like to have our plans interrupted, I think most of us find the events that took place in our scripture passage that I just shared with you from the book of Genesis and from the book of Hebrews, all the more challenging. I mean, here in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible tells us that God has interrupted the plans of an old man named Abram for the specific purpose of claiming an entire people for himself and initiating a plan of salvation for humanity that will eventually result in the coming of Jesus into the world. Now, as we look at how God dramatically interrupted the plans that Abram probably had for his life, we're going to see that God has a peculiar habit of shaking us up and a peculiar habit of setting challenges in front of us that are often new and sometimes a little bit scary. So on that note, let's look at how Abram had his life interrupted by God. Now, Abram, who, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that he later became known as Abraham, is the father of our faith. He's a major player in the Scripture. He's also a major player even in the other world religions. He's considered the father of Judaism. Even in Islam, they view Abraham as an important figure. He's the one man God chose to be the father of many nations, and as Christians, we are considered children of Abraham, and we are considered members of his household of faith. Now, just to give you a quick summary of the moment when God interrupted Abram's plans, you need to know that Abram was already 75 years old. Think about that. He's already 75 years old in Genesis 12, and he's been living here in the land of Ur, also known as Mesopotamia, with his wife Sarai for a long, long time. He's put down roots here. Now, the two of them have never produced an heir, which in those days was a huge deal. Even though Abram has been very successful, he's been very successful financially, and he's led a very comfortable life. And I suspect that had God not interrupted Abram's plans, chances are Abram and his wife Sarai would have just continued to live very contentedly and very happily a very comfortable life there in the land where they had been for many, many years, in their homeland, doing the things that they had always done and living the life that they had always lived. But then God comes along and he interrupts them. And as we look at the way in which God interrupted Abram's life, I'd like you to notice, first of all, that when the Lord interrupts us, when he interrupts our plans, he often does it by challenging us to move from familiar territory to unfamiliar territory. In Genesis 12:1, the Lord says to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I'm going to show you." God covers a lot in one sentence there, doesn't he? Abram and his family had lived in the same place for a long time. They knew the people. They knew the people in the area. They knew the good parts of town. They knew the bad parts of town. They knew all the back roads. They knew all the shortcuts. In other words, they were settled in their land. And then God comes along and he says to Abram, you need to pack up everything and move. You need to move to a new place, a place where everything is going to be unfamiliar to you. New lands, new neighbors, people of different ethnic backgrounds and religions will be in the place where you're going. People who eat different foods than you do and have different customs than the very people that you're used to here in your homeland. And although God was asking Abram to leave his comfort zone in the land that he knew, the Bible tells us that Abram didn't even question God on this demand. He simply packed up his family and he went, just as God had commanded him. Now, that's called faith. Abram is known as the father of our faith. And I think it's easy to see why. Abram was willing to go into the great unknown, trusting that God would fulfill his promise, even though he had no proof and no guarantee other than God's reliable word to him. What about us? How many times in your life has God interrupted your plans by challenging you to leave what is familiar and strike out into unfamiliar territory? I know it's something that a lot of people feel like maybe when they're in a situation where they're in the process of leaving a job. Maybe you've been in a particular job for a while, and suddenly God challenges you to leave that job and do something different. Go to a new job. If you've been working somewhere for a long time, and then all of a sudden you find a new job or a new job finds you, regardless of how great the new job is, it can be scary to leave the old job, right? I mean, in my own life, I had made that decision about 4 years ago. I had been the pastor at Bethesda Church over in Lima for 21 years. That had been my job for 21 years. I was pretty comfortable there. But God challenged me to leave that after 21 years and strike out into the new job that I have now, where I serve as the national minister of an association of churches, which is a different, totally different ballgame. And even though I was excited about the new job, it was scary to leave the familiar behind. Yet when it comes to our willingness to obey God, it's almost impossible for us to follow the Lord unless we're willing to be interrupted and sometimes even challenged by Him to move from familiar territory to unfamiliar territory. Sometimes God comes along and He says to us, He says, you know, I'm fully aware of your plans. I know what you've already got planned for yourself. I know that your plan is to live your life in the way that you're already living it, and to maintain the course that you've already set for yourself. But then God sometimes says to us, but guess what? I have a different plan for you. And when God says that to us, we then have a choice to make, just as Abram had to make a choice. Will we stick to our own plan, the plan that we've already got that we think is the comfortable plan, or will we allow our plans to be interrupted so that we can go where God wants us to go or do whatever it is God is calling us to do? See, faith is all about taking risks for God, stepping out and going to do the things that He calls us to do, even though we may not know exactly how they're going to happen. It's kind of like a little poem that I read not too long ago. It goes like this. It says, there once was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked, he never tried, he never sang or prayed. And then one day he passed away. His insurance was denied, for since he never really lived, they claimed he never died. See, God's interruptions often force us to make a decision between sticking with what's familiar and predictable or taking a risk and stepping out in faith into the world of the unfamiliar, which is often where God calls us to go. I remember years ago when I was in seminary, I was told that I had to do an internship. And during the first year of seminary, they said, you don't do an internship in a local church, you do it in an institution of some kind. And so they had a whole list of different institutions in the St. Louis area where you could do your internship. And they had nursing homes, and they had hospitals, and they had a youth center, different kinds of places where you could do internships. But one of the internships they had was the St. Louis City Jail, downtown. The maximum security jail where the worst of the worst criminals go to await trial. And I remember when I looked at that list of all the places where I could do my internship, I thought to myself, well, that's the last place I want to go. You know, I'm going to go to a nursing home or something like that. I don't want to work with hardened criminals. That's too scary. So I went and I listened to the presentations by three of the nursing home people, and I was scheduled to go listen to a presentation from a fourth nursing home person, and that person canceled. And so here I was, standing around, trying to figure out what to do with that last half hour of my time when I was supposed to be investigating where I wanted to do my internship, and I wandered into the room where the chaplain from the St. Louis City Jail was talking. And I sat down, and I listened to him talk for a half hour about why you should do your internship down there. Guess what? That's where I ended up doing my internship. God interrupted my plans. I had it all planned out. I was going to do my internship working, you know, with elderly people in a nursing home setting. Working as like a chaplain, an assistant chaplain. But God had other plans. He wanted to shake me out of my comfort zone. And that whole night I didn't sleep as I was trying to decide where to do my internship, and it became clear to me that morning, and when I woke up the next morning, God wanted me to go to the St. Louis City Jail and work with some of the worst criminals in St. Louis. And I did that for a whole year. And I'll never regret that, because God's plans are always better than our plans. God's interruptions often force us to make a decision between sticking with what's familiar and predictable to us and stepping out of our comfort zone to do something that is maybe very challenging to us, but where God wants us to go. And then a second thing I'd like you to notice here about what happened to Abram is, please notice that when God interrupts our lives and challenges us to take a step out in faith to do something for Him, He always promises that He will go with us. He will go with us as we make that adjustment in our lives to follow His particular plan. In fact, after Abram made the decision to go ahead and allow his life to be interrupted by God, he never traveled alone. And you see that as you continue to read all through the book of Genesis. He never traveled alone, even in all the journeys that he took. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.'" And so what did Abram do? It says in verse 7, "So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him." One of the cool things about letting God interrupt your plans to give you a new set of plans is that when God interrupts your plans and you start following His plans, He goes with you every step of the way. He goes with you every step of the way. Somebody tells a story about a fire that started inside of a chemical plant just outside of a very small town on one dark night. And before long, the fire exploded into a massive inferno, and so the alarm went out to 5 different fire departments to come and help try to extinguish this huge chemical fire. And after fighting the fire for over an hour, the chemical company president approached the fire chief, who was in charge of some of the crews that were already in there fighting the fire. And he said, "All of our secret formulas are in the vault in the center of that plant. They have to be saved. I will give $50,000 to the engine company that can bring those things out safely from that inferno." And as soon as the chief heard this, he ordered his firemen to strengthen their attack on the blaze. And after 2 more hours of attacking the fire, the president of the company came out and he saw that they weren't making enough progress. And so he said, "I'm raising my offer to $100,000. $100,000 to whichever engine company is able to bring out the company's secret files." And from the distance, suddenly they heard a long siren and another fire truck came into sight. And it was roaring down the highway towards the chemical plant. And it was a local volunteer fire company composed mostly of men over the age of 65. A bunch of old guys. And to everyone's amazement, this little fire engine raced through the chemical plant gates, drove straight into the middle of the inferno, and in the distance, the other firemen watched as the old-timers hopped off their rig and began to fight the fire with a level of effort that they had never seen before. And after an hour of intense fighting, the volunteer company had managed to extinguish the fire and save the secret formulas. And very happily, the chemical company president announced that he would double the reward again to $200,000, and he walked over to personally thank the old men individually. And the president asked the group what they intended to do with the reward money. And the fire truck driver looked at him right in the eye and he said, "The first thing we're going to do is fix the brakes on that truck." My friends, when we start walking in faith, it doesn't mean that we're simply running blindly into a fire. It doesn't mean that we're stepping foolishly off a cliff just to see if God will catch us. When we start walking in faith, what it really means is we are allowing God to guide our steps, knowing that wherever He calls us to go and whatever He calls us to do, He is the one who will be with us. He will be the one directing our paths. As Abram stepped out in faith and allowed God's plans to become his plans, the Bible says that Abram built many altars along the way. And God continued to reveal himself to Abram step by step as Abram made his journey in the direction that God had called him to go. And that's the promise that we have as believers. We do live by faith, not by sight. And although we can't always see what's exactly around the next corner when God asks us to change our plans for Him, God knows exactly what is around the next corner. And He promises that He will give us what we need to to deal with it. And you're right. For those of you who are getting ready to go on a mission trip to Africa, you're probably going to get to test the truth of this many times. Because every time I talk to people who go on mission trips to Africa, I have a good friend who lives in California, and he's involved in a very big ministry in Africa, and he goes there multiple times a year. And almost every time he goes to Africa, he tells me stories of interruptions that occur along the path. Different ways that God allows different twists and turns to go that he didn't necessarily anticipate. But what he always tells me is, he said, I know that the Lord is with me. And he always has these amazing stories of how God takes situations that seem bizarre, where the plans have been interrupted and things that they had hoped to do didn't happen. And somehow God always manages to redeem those plans. And that's the promise that God gives us when we walk by faith. When we walk by faith, God will be with us every step of the way. For Abram, God's interruption resulted in an exciting journey of faith that you can read about in the book of Genesis. Abram didn't always know what was going to happen next as he moved his family into unfamiliar territory. But what he did know was that God would fulfill his promise. So, the next time God interrupts your plans with his plans, remember, if you give in and you let God change your agenda, he will go with you every step of the way. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you are sovereign over our lives, and that you are the one who ultimately guides and directs our paths. We confess to you, Father, sometimes we're rather stubborn. Sometimes we become so attached to our own plans that we don't want to make adjustments for you. And we admit, Lord, sometimes that's when we become very unfruitful in our lives. So help us to be flexible. Help us to be open to your promptings and to the ways in which you want to guide us and direct us, sometimes into territory that is unfamiliar to us. Lead us and use us for your glory, for we surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen.